Welcome to a special edition of the Texas Hour with Pratt on Texas, featuring an interview with a thinker, writer, doer, or someone with an interesting story to tell.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is a special edition of the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a donor or management-controlled muzzle and leash. Our Lone Star story of the day today, well, it's a special show. We're going to talk with John Gibson. He's our guest. You know him as a Fox News host, maybe an MSNBC anchor in the 1990s, a radio talk show host, and author of the Mickey Judge Mystery Series you can get at Amazon. He's got a new book out, Death in the Reeds. That's the newest. He's got one on the O.J. murders, and that one is a must-read because he covered, you know, he was out there covering that famous event or infamous event in our country's history. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs for business and institutions and truckers and fleet owners. You know, whether you're in Fort Worth in the Metroplex or anywhere across West Texas, office in Fort Worth, office in Lubbock, Allied Compliance Services is your best friend in compliance with DOT testing regs and that new the clearinghouse. You have to have all your drivers in at the DOT. Reach the best in compliance at alliedcompliance.com. They're so nice to everyday sponsor our Lone Star story of the day. Remember to listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews free of charge at prattontexas.com. And we're on all the major podcasting platforms. And as always, my friends, it is a great day to be a Texan. Well, John Gibson is our guest. He's, in his own words, quote, done a lot of things, end quote. He has. You grew up in far north Redding, California, and then went to high school down in Fresno in California, John, and big NBC news reporter, and then MSNBC anchor, and then later on Fox. Many people may remember your show, Fox News Live with John Gibson, and then it became the big story. And you've been in Texas for about 20 years. We welcome you as a Texan now, another escapee from the left coast. John, welcome to Pratt on Texas, and it's just a delight to have you. Before we get into any of the other politics or your thoughts on media and the things we might discuss, would you just tell people about your fiction series, your mystery series, your books?
Well, you know, Robert, thanks for having me. First of all, it's a pleasure to be on with you. Look, I got to the point where the broadcasting world retired me, and I had time, and I just figured I'd start writing these books I was always thinking about. And the first one, O.J.'s Knife, I mean, this goes back, as you know, 25 years. The idea was that knife was never found. And so I made up a story, this fiction, about two guys who find the knife and what happens when they find the knife. In the same way with the new one, Death in the Reeds, at the start of the Iraq War, you remember the shock and awe night when they were bombing Baghdad. That night and the next day, looters hit the Iraq National Museum and stole thousands and thousands of antiquities.
Boy, one of them, they. Yeah, they did. You know, I'm a big reader of archaeology. That's one of my passions on the side. You know, when you're not doing the news all day, which just wears you out, as you well know. And boy, we keep finding these things being traded around all over the world. It's amazing.
Right. Well, there was one in particular. It's known in your world, archaeologists, as the Lioness and the Nubian Boy, and it is a ivory plaque. Well, there's two of them. There's one in the British Museum, and there was one in the Iraq Museum. They're an ivory plaque that decorated the throne of an ancient king about 3,000 years ago. And the plaque depicts a lioness attacking and killing a boy. It's an exquisite piece, and it went missing when those looters hit the museum. Now, that's the fact. That actually happened.
Right.
And then
that's the premise of the book. Okay.
The premise of the book is that thing was stolen. And then I follow my made-up thief who steals it with the intention of selling it for many, many, many millions of dollars. And what happens to him and what happens to it and how it winds up in San Francisco, which I know really well because I was a reporter there for 15 years or so. And my my protagonist is a what we'll call him a ne'er-do-well, a bad boy TV reporter who is always getting fired.
Your alter ego.
Well,
you got promoted. Everybody in broadcasting gets fired, but John got promoted everywhere. So this is John's alter ego or one of his buddies.
I got fired a few times. Yeah. And I managed to get fired from NBC twice.
Well, congratulations.
That was a record. Yeah. So anyway, he gets involved in looking for this and the story unfolds. And it's a fun read. Amazon.com, Death in the Reeds by John Gibson. Reeds, R-E-E-D-S. And I can promise you, if you order it on Amazon, it'll show up in about 2 days.
Now, come on. Let's get to this protagonist. Let's get to your character in here. Yeah. Obviously, when you're writing, you said, you know, the industry retired you. You had time. You'd been thinking about writing, and you put these characters together. You normally, there are a few authors who pull off writing about things they are not personally familiar with, but almost all authors, I mean, you write about what you know. That's why you cite part of the story in San Francisco and all that. But in this character himself, what little flashes of reality from your experience do we get that maybe informs his bad boy nature or otherwise?
Well, I had a knack for getting in trouble.
See, I'm asking for a confession.
I got in trouble with executives, and you know, it wasn't like I was trying to make trouble. I just opened my big mouth and something would come out they didn't like. So I found myself in trouble a lot. And that was part of the inspiration for this character. Although I modeled him after other people. Sure. I know in the business, his appearance and his manner and so forth. But I just, you know, we all know the great book Silence of the Lambs that was written by a guy named Thomas Harris, who was an AP reporter in Miami for many, many years. And Thomas Harris once said about his fiction, he said, "I never make anything up.
Right.
I've seen all this stuff." And I think that's true, too. You know, the characters I write, they're not completely made up. They're based on people I know or ran into or covered in the news, and they're completely out of context.
Right.
The story that you're reading isn't the context I knew them in, but they had such, you know, strong personalities or strong appearance, or they did such weird things. You know, you just have to use them. And so when you read this book and you say, well, now where did he get this guy? I'm not going to tell you. But I can tell you, right, that's real.
30 seconds before the segment ends, have any of these folks discovered themselves in the book and contacted you over time?
Well, I'm kind of waiting for a certain woman who is depicted in this book to give me a call, and she might be angry.
Yeah, the newest book is just out, ladies and gentlemen, Death in the Reeds. It's a Mickey Judge mystery from John Gibson. You can find it at Amazon.com. Just search for John Gibson, G-I-B-S-O-N. We'll be back in a moment. We visit with John Gibson, former Fox News host, MSNBC anchor, and much more. This is Pratt on Texas.
Pratt's interview continues in a moment. Stand by.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he and his wife visited Dr. Silvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be, very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. He added that the dental work he had done would have been about $12,000 at home, and of course that wouldn't have come with a fun vacation in which he and his wife toured volcanoes, hot springs, a nature and wildlife park, a coffee farm, a central market, and took a riverboat ride, went ziplining, and dined at some nice restaurants. Learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Sharing stories that matter. Here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. I have the distinct honor in this special edition of Pratt on Texas of having with us John Gibson. He grew up in California and Northern California and went to high school down in Fresno. He graduated from the UCLA Film School back in, should I say it? I guess I will. He's not afraid of it. 1969. And he was a big-time reporter in major media markets and for then the networks and the West Coast and NBC News, did all kinds of things. You remembering, and I didn't say it in the first segment when he's talking about a character in the book. He said he, in his mystery series, he uses other people as models for how, you know, how the character looks, because he didn't want the character in the book to be the same guy he was, which is the guy with the hair. I bet you've heard that your whole life. The guy, especially when you got older, your hair really, when it whitened a little, just very distinctive. And when you're in a visual medium, that's actually important. And it was, but you remember him. He was on Fox News Channel for a long time, had the Fox News Live with John Gibson, then it became the big story. And now he's just enjoying North Texas and the horses and the workshop and just writing books. And Death in the Reeds is the new one out. Go find it at Amazon.com. John, I want to talk a little bit about the media business. Now, I didn't come into the media. I was a consumer, but an aware consumer. From the time I was a small person, and that would be, well, I started working actively in campaigns and things, and all the, I've been self-employed my entire life. All the companies I've built, everything on the side, I was always running campaigns or doing political work or being a party chairman and that Republican Party chairman, that kind of thing. Always were the media. My mother went back to, she was an artist, went back to school, got a degree, became among the most award-winning religion writers in the country, won the Wilbur Award, and was the Morris Newspaper's religion editor at the Lubbock Avalanche Journal for 25 years, still writes a column. I've just been around it, and I've been aware of it. And I remember, I'm old enough to know when we didn't have all the cable TV, didn't have any of the cable TV news. You've been through this a long time, but you started your career essentially, I mean, you did other column work, a music columnist in Hollywood and things like that, record company executive. You've been around it, but you've been in media, were in media a very long time through the major transition from these giant newspaper and television conglomerate or giant companies that were minting money, essentially, to a world that's been so fractionalized that there are so many different sources of news, even in a pre-internet sense. I mean, just in a broadcast sense, the amount of choice that's out there. There's been a lot of changes in that business, and I don't think much has changed that most of the big media leans left. We can talk about that later. What just stands out to you as having been, you know, the one the camera's pointing towards during all these years? How did it change reporting when we went from an oligopoly to a much broader oligopoly, I guess, much more choice in news consumption? That had to be just driving these NBC and other network executives to consternation daily because they were so used to just a fight for three, you know, and positioning, but they all knew they had a big, healthy audience and could make money. And all of a sudden, CNN pops up, then everybody else pops up. They even start their own cable channels where they're robbing from their own audience. Talk about your experience through that.
Well, you know, the big change, as you probably know, is the technology of it all. I you're recording this on some sort of electronic device that goes on a hard disk or something. And if you wanted to insert a soundbite of, let's say, Joe Biden, you could find it. I did this. This is how I did my radio show. You could find it literally in an instant by Googling Biden latest soundbite.
Yeah, it didn't work that way before, and you couldn't insert it either back then. When I started stuff, you had to cut tape.
Yeah, I was editing tape, in radio on a little splicing block with scotch tape and a razor blade.
I've done it when I was a kid, not an adult. So I'm younger than John, but I've done it.
Yeah, and if you wanted that soundbite of Joe Biden, you had to get it yourself. It was not available in the air. You couldn't just pull it out of the sky. And now, and one of the reasons there's such a proliferation of you call them news sites online. Let me just say, I don't trust anything that doesn't have an editor involved. So, you know, I read the big papers, even though I know they're liberal and they're left wing and so forth. And I watch TV because the big channels, because I know there's an editor someplace looking at what's being said or printed and saying, is this right? Do I have reason to believe it's right? Am I going to get sued? Does this defame somebody? Is this slander? And, you know, whereas if you were to say, oh, I get my news on TikTok, anything is on there. Anything.
Right.
And you just can't trust it. I mean, I saw a picture on TikTok. Some guy sent it to me, a friend of mine, said, you won't believe this. Look at this. The Chinese hit the moon with a rocket. And there was a picture of the moon and a little puff of smoke. I said, come on. Come on. You don't actually think this is true, do you? And so the biggest change that goes on in the media since I started, when I started in TV in 1975, I was shooting film and running it through a film processor. The film processor was 16 feet long, had all these tanks of chemicals, had a big serpentine thing where the film went through, you know, and it would come off the reels and it would ruin the film. And it was a nightmare. Now you just go out and grab whatever you want. I had it when I was doing the radio show, and this is the same in television now. I could subscribe to services, and I did, that gave me all the sound from all the people in the news that day, hundreds of choices, including the best jokes from the late night shows, if you wanted to do that. And so this gives somebody like me or you the power to, you know, I'm going to do a radio show. I got all these sources. I can do it. Well, you know, you're responsible. You've been doing it a long time. I'm responsible. I've been doing it a long time. But a lot of people aren't. And they go out and they take stuff and they twist it and they decontextualize it. And they make people believe things are true that just aren't.
But I see that. I do. I almost exclusively, I avoid video and audio because I read so much faster and I do so much show prep. I'm not of the opinion that there are, I know from the inside as a fact that even in some of the major papers, there are very few editors anymore. And stories are being posted even in major publications without the kind of review that they got even 15 and 20 years ago. But I think what I hear you saying is there's a sense of responsibility. Somebody's job's on the line or a company is on the line. And we're not talking about the slant of the story, left, right, whatever, that there's a sense of responsibility, because I've certainly always worried about that. I've never been sued. I've had people threaten it, but we've never been sued. But it's something I certainly worry about. But when you do this anonymous stuff that you're talking, just this stuff online, they make stuff up, and people send it to me too, and I'm often shocked that they think that this could even be true, and that's a big change in our society. We're visiting with John Gibson. We'll be back in a moment on Pride on Texas.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans. Employers are looking for solutions, and my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution.
With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com.
Here's a man who is proud of Texas and Texans. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to this special edition of Pratt on Texas. We're visiting with John Gibson. You knew him for decades on television, whether it be NBC Network Television, West Coast work, MSNBC anchor in its early years during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, all the way to hosting The Big Show, The Big Story, and Fox News Live with John Gibson in the 2000s, and he's been a radio host, and he's an author, and he's got a new book out, and you need to go read it. It's a Mickey Judge mystery, Death in the Reeds, and we talked about that in the first segment. If you tuned in late, just go to proudontexas.com and pick up a podcast free of charge. You can listen to that and learn all about the books. Amazon.com, just go to look for John Gibson, G-I-B-S-O-N, and Death in the Reeds, R-E-E-D-S. That's the latest of his books. John's now a Texan with us, living in North Texas. And John, we were talking about media changes, and I hear you're talking about it in a way that is different from what I would have said, and I'm very glad to hear it because it's an interesting perspective. Just the way the news is put together, that now you can go out and find anything and create your own, you know, news desk. Now all these written websites, which I read because I can read so much more fast. I mean, you know, it takes, oh my gosh, I mean, it's massively long to sit and watch through a video. People send me videos and get mad because I don't watch them. It's just, I want to read it. And even the sites that are text now have some girl at a news desk doing stories, you know, that pops up with the screens. You see, whether it's John Solomon's new, Just the News or whatever. Everybody can grab this stuff and do it, but I think setting aside bias or whatever else that's the thing that particularly bothers people, there is this technological change has made a massive difference. And it's not just that it's out there. I'll give you another side of it, John. In the city in which I live and a couple of other cities where I have, I cover the whole state, but where I've actually, you know, had affiliates, over the air affiliates. News stations, not a single local news station has to have a reporter downtown anymore at the police station or anywhere else. The taxpayer is picking up the tab. All these agencies, I don't care how small it is, they've all got a public information officer, and many times two or three, and they're full time, and they're feeding the news, and the news stations locally just take that and put it straight up often, without even a single edit often. And while that's great, I mean, oh yeah, but see, they blew their, by being in favor of that, John, they blew their competitive advantage in town because there was usually only one or two that could afford to keep a reporter down at the jail and the police and going through the bookings. And what they've done is, oh, well, we want to cut costs so this works better. Yeah, but every single media outlet in town, even those that aren't really media outlets, they just keep a website, they're putting up the same stuff, so you've lost your uniqueness. And why is the taxpayer footing the bill for this? I mean, I know why. Media wants to feed it out there because you always want to feed your side of the story. But they've given up on the news. Even what's news isn't news a lot of times. In other words, there's no reporter developing it. Nobody trying to put the story together. They're just taking the handout. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I see that a lot. And it's not just in small towns.
It's everywhere.
One of the papers I read is the San Francisco Chronicle.
Oh, and the heart of the Hearst beast.
Yeah. And I'll see a story. Let's say, you know, I lived there for a long time, so I'm curious about things that happen in the various neighborhoods. And I'll see a story. You know, a man was shot on a certain corner. And all right, let's open up this story and see what it is. And the story is a man was shot on a certain corner. End of story. Not his name. No idea why. No further details. There's no reporter on it. And this is San Francisco. I mean, I can understand why a small town radio station, newspaper, whatever may exist in that small town, doesn't have the budget to hire a reporter to run around and follow up on these things. But San Francisco, L.A., those places are doing this as well.
Yeah.
It's just kind of mind-blowing.
I watch it in Houston. I watch it in Houston, although I must say Houston has a pretty competitive media market right now. But I wasn't talking about small towns. I'm talking about cities. We have cities where in Texas, we're the only outlet 15, 20 years ago that was big enough to keep a reporter, you know, watching the blotter at the police desk and checking in with them all the time was probably maybe one, the leading TV news, maybe two, and the newspaper. Well, they let the local government hire these people to feed them. And so now there's 30 other, you know, outlets in town with these websites, and they all have the same stuff. And it just, it seems to me they're shooting themselves in the foot. And the only reason I brought that up is it slides in as a puzzle piece with what you were talking about everything's available. But you used to, if you wanted it to air on your network or your station or your, we didn't have websites then, but let's just use that term, your website, your newsletter, whatever, you had to go out and get it. And now they don't have to go out and get it. And I think it's changing the role of the reporter, not just in TV, but also in print.
Well, here's a good example, which is kind of funny. You know, this border crisis we have in Texas, you know, millions of people crossing the border. And you watch the coverage, Fox is covering it, and there are people covering it, but it's you never see a crowd of cameras. You know, one or two people are out there. Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis or somebody flies some immigrants to Delaware, and there's one immigrant that gets off a plane somewhere, and there is 50 cameras around him. And another 50 microphones and another 50 pad and pencil people. And, you know, you say, well, wait a minute. This isn't even where the story is.
Yes.
It is coverage by convenience. We cover New York City and the tri-state area because that's where we are. We have a gazillion reporters and anchors. The same thing happens in Wyoming. You're not going to get much coverage.
You know, I did a speech about that back in the 90s several times because I came from the technology industry. Started in the computing industry when we were still working on mainframes and what we called mini computers, and the PC took over. And I used to explain the media centralization and the bias in the New York's. It's all caused by technology. I mean, that's just how the technology worked. There really wasn't a way to have all these bureaus out in the field and people in the field. It just didn't work that way. You have to go back to, you know, the early lines that the Bell system set up for radio and then later for television and then the early satellite stuff where you got to have an uplink. And it just lent itself to that. And that's actually was new to TV, because before television, you did have regional coverage in this country. You had mega newspapers and massive newspaper competition. Even in small places, you had multiple pieces, but you had regional coverage. I don't care if it was the Chicago Tribune or William Randolph Hearst and then building a national. It doesn't matter. They had spots, and the country was focused more on the Federalist model, on the state houses and what was going on locally. It was the technology that seems to have driven everything to this, New York to Washington, D.C. focus. And now that's broken apart. And it's fragmenting again. You played a part in that as a reporter and then a host.
Yeah, I did. I did that OJ trial for a year and a half, and I used to laugh about it because it was, my job at that time working for NBC was to do hits for the local stations, and those live shots were literally 2 minutes apart around the clock.
Hold it right there. I just looked at the time. You know how it works. The clock's got us. We'll be back. We'll pick it up right there with John Gibson on this special edition of Pratt on Texas.
Pratt's interview continues after you hear from our generous sponsors.
When it comes to great eating, for many of us, it starts with the meats. And you'll find a big selection of the best tasting, best quality beef, pork, and lamb, as well as rubs, sauces, and more at Raider Red Meats on the Texas Tech campus in Lubbock. You can keep up with Raider Red Meat's frequent sales and specials through their Facebook page. Link to it from RaiderRedMeats.com. Help fund scholarships to the world's best meat sciences program by joining us in beefing up at Raider Red Meats.
At Thacker Jewelry, we believe in hometown service. When you walk through our doors, we want you to feel welcome and at home. An incredible story lives inside each and every piece of jewelry at Thacker's. As a West Texas jeweler, we want to help you express your love and your feeling for your family, for your loved ones, and for the generations to come.
Hello, what do you say? It's a Thacker Jewelry kind of day.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Your Edward Jones financial advisor, Mark Miller, can help you build a strategy to help your finances keep up with your needs over the long haul. You've done what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Stop by Mark Miller's office at 3849 Oldham Lane in Abilene. Edward Jones, making sense of investing, member SIPC.
Now, back to the interview and your host, Mr. Texas, Robert Pratt.
We're visiting with John Gibson on the special edition of Pratt on Texas. You knew him through MSNBC in the 90s and Fox News in the 2000s. He was the big guy covering the O.J. Simpson trial. And you remember that saga in the mid-90s lasted over a year, year and a half. And John was just about to tell us his job was to produce what he called hits. These are the little segments you see on your local news from the network. And you produce them, they're timed, so that the local news people across the country, the affiliates, can put them in. Pick it up there, John.
Well, so what happened was, the minute that O.J. Simpson was seen in handcuffs, I started doing live shots. And at 9 o'clock in L.A. is noon in New York, so it'd be doing the noon news. And I marched through the time zone doing, a generic at the top of the hour, which a station could run 1 minute into the hour. Or if they wanted to lead with something else, they could book a custom. And that I would do one for them and then one for somebody else and then one for somebody through the hours. And the last thing of the day was Geraldo Rivera's show at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Well, so at that time, there was only one cable news network, is CNN. But it was the O.J. trial, a year and a half of round-the-clock coverage, 7 days a week, that convinced Bill Gates and convinced Rupert Murdoch that they could throw their billions into cable news startups. So all of a sudden, after the OJ trial, within months, you had MSNBC going on the air.
Which people forget the MS, Microsoft. It's funny. People don't seem to think about that. But
yeah, well, that was
it. Bill Gates, right.
That was Bill Gates' money. Bill Gates was convinced to, this is a true story, it was told in a book by Ken Aletta that he had a meeting with Tom Brokaw at NBC headquarters, and it was the Million Man March. And Brokaw said, we can go on the air and cover this 24 hours a day and do coverage like nobody's ever seen, and it will cost not one dime more. One of the most expensive lies ever told in television, because Gates ended up putting billions into MSNBC, which essentially gave NBC a huge competitive advantage over CBS and ABC. So, you know, those two networks were launched. Rupert Murdoch made the same calculation. They were launched more or less the same time as a result of the same incident, the year and a half of OJ coverage, and they realized that they could sustain coverage of almost anything around the clock with a lot of repetition and make a lot of money.
It's why I can't watch it, John. Seriously, it's the repetition.
Well, I know.
I consume stuff so quickly, I can't stand it.
Listen, I got to say, I feel like I created a monster. I was one of the anchors on the first day of MSNBC, and I only have to turn it on today to wish somehow I was able to kill it in its crib back then.
Let's talk about the business side, because you had to have lived through this and the complaining from the executives and people. In the beginning, cable networks were going to be an add-on to their main brand. Well, Rupert came in, Murdoch came in and started the other way. And, of course, he dominates now with the Fox product. Of course, he's a global media genius guy anyway, a long history in the newspapers and all of that. And then, but they began to, it's really funny how the monster they created cannibalized not the competitors. It seems like it almost more than anything cannibalized their big premier brands, as we would call over at CBS, the Tiffany Network. It seemed to have cannibalized their main news organizations amongst heavy news consumers.
Well, no, that's true. I mean, NBC News is a perfect example. You know, the nightly news with Tom Brokaw or whoever it is now plays second fiddle to what's going on the cable.
I don't know who any of the three or four network, you know, over-the-air news anchors are. But I haven't watched that stuff for 25 years. I was one of the early people to turn it off. But again, that's partly because I like to read and I listen to radio, and Rush helped out a lot of that. You know, you could be entertained and get a compendium of what's going on every day with Limbaugh's show. And it was so great. We've only got a few minutes left, and maybe we can do this again in the future, John, but it's just wonderful to have you as a Texan. In the last few minutes, remind everybody, your book is out, Mickey Judge Mystery, Death in the Reeds. Get it at Amazon.com, or get his first one, his OJ book, where they find the knife. I mean, you've got it. It's OJ's knife. That's the name of it. Let's talk about media and where it is right now. And I'd like to give you just a few minutes here to maybe say what's been on your mind about what you'd like to say. And you sort of hinted at it when you said, I wish I would have killed it off.
Well, I have the same problem. I can't watch it anymore. I watch baseball. It's just CNN may be taking a step in the right direction and trying to get the opinion out of their hosts and just do the news. We'll just see if they can pull that off.
I don't mind the opinion. I just, to me, it's this, ladies and gentlemen, it would not be proper to speculate, and then you spend 7 hours speculating. That kind of thing just drives me nuts. Because there's nothing to do. You got to fill the air.
There's a guy on CNBC now, used to be a big anchor on Fox, who used to say, you get nothing but the news here, no opinion, who then promptly told you his opinion.
Hey, by the way, did you ever know Lou Dobbs at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Lou's a North Texan. He's from Childress. There's quite a few of the folks that have been out there and doing well, not going back to Cronkite and then the people after that. But a lot of them are Texan guys, and a lot of them from small towns that have done well. Did you think at Fox that the that the glamour of it was overemphasized, or was that just great marketing? And I guess I could say the blonde and leggy girls, but I don't mean, it's really everything. They really put a good package together. And if you're familiar with the British newspapers, you understand why Murdoch thinks that way, or Ailes thought that way. But it was very much a glamour look on the air.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the hair and makeup department creates miracles every day. And yours truly was one of them. I'd walk in there and walk out looking like, a completely different person. And I have seen, I'm not going to name names, but I have seen some people, women, men, who are absolutely scary in person, and they go in that hair and makeup department, and they come out looking pretty damn good.
Well, I don't see a problem with that, because you're selling a visual medium, but at any point did it become more important than the news itself?
Well, no. What it really is because you're looking so intensely at a person
right
on TV, if there's anything wrong, it's all you notice.
Yeah. Remember Rush Limbaugh's gripe about doing television? They didn't hear what he said. They just were all complimenting him on his tie. And I understand, I've done a lot of television, and that's, there's a lot to that. And it's frustrating.
The first rule of TV is don't wear a hat. Because everybody's got an opinion about a hat.
There you go.
They'll focus on that hat no matter what you're saying.
Very good. John Gibson, the book is, my friends, Death in the Reeds. It's at Amazon. It's a Mickey Judge mystery. Just look up John Gibson. John's now living in North Texas, and we welcome him to the Lone Star State. John, thanks for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Robert, thank you. Appreciate you putting me on.
That's it for today. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.